The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Welcome back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. Here in a moment, we're going to talk some college football as that conversation will continue. We want to get updated on Jason Peters' Nebraska Huskers. We also want to weigh in on the fact that Oklahoma secured the former wide receiver at Penn State in Justin Brown. We wanted to get Jason's thoughts on that. But, you know, the Summer Olympics, it's just been a beautiful thing to watch. And I have especially enjoyed the beach volleyball action. Of course, Misty Mae Trenor and Walsh, they win their third gold medal in style. It was an amazing run. And Jason, at the University of Nebraska, I mean, women's volleyball, it's a big deal up there. What did you think? I'm assuming that you did get a chance to watch this.
I did. And yeah, you're right about the volleyball out here in the Midwest. There's not much beach volleyball happening out here, but inside they certainly have one of the premier teams in the country, and John Cook does a tremendous job coaching those girls. But yeah, back to the Olympics, I don't care what sport you're in, the domination that those two girls have had in that sport is it's second to none. And you know, that's a lot of time and dedication and effort and hard work and the whole blood, sweat, and tears that those girls pour into it. And it's not coincidence that the beach volleyball is one of the more popular events over there. I know they've added a few things to the site where they're holding it. I think they have a live DJ, and you have girls running around in bikinis, and I'm sure the stands are filled with a lot of young guys, but as far as the talent, these girls are professional, high-class type athletes, the highest level, and they deserve all the praise that they get.
You know, Jason, I wanted to get the male perspective on this because Misty Mae Trenor, Kerry Walsh, I mean, they are truly the world's most famous beach volleyball pair, and it was hard to script such an incredible and perfect ending to a legendary career. But, I mean, you're talking about, you know, these gals running around in their bikinis. But from a male perspective, do you have a sincere appreciation for just their athleticism? I mean, my husband, I mean, he's not into that thing, but he definitely was into watching this particular match.
Absolutely. And it's not just with them, all of the female athletes. I mean, you're talking about competing against the best athletes at each of these sports from athletes all over the world. And it, you know, certainly made me proud, and I think every other American who's into the Olympics watching those girls, you know, do what they do. And to do it with a target on your back for years and years and years. I mean, they didn't sneak up on anybody. Everybody prepares against those two as they're preparing against the best in the world. So, you know, to be somebody who kind of can sneak in there and maybe you grab a gold or you grab a silver medal here and there, that's not the case with those two girls. I mean, these are girls that have kind of, like I said, that target on their back, and they get everybody's best effort.
Well, and I thought it was interesting, too, you know, Misty Mae Trenor, what she talked about. And, Jason, you know what this is all about and how hard it is to repeat. I mean, you're a three-time national champion at the University of Nebraska. And, you know, she said, you know, winning the first gold medal when we were young, it was sweet. But, you know, winning back-to-back gold medals is very difficult. The target on your back is huge. But for the three-peat, you know, you couldn't script it out. You couldn't write it out a better way. And I know that you know how difficult it is to repeat when you are a defending champ.
Yeah, I mean, for us, I know in 1993 we played Florida State for a national championship in the Orange Bowl, and they ended up winning that game 18-16, but it certainly, I think, put us on the national scene. And then the next year we won our first championship in 94, beating Miami back down in the Orange Bowl. So there was, I guess, an awareness of us going into that 94 season, but we didn't have fat targets on our back. My Florida State was the school when you're the defending champ. But then when we headed into 1995, every game that you play, every stadium that you walk into, you're the defending national champ. And that's the same with Misty May and trainers, that every site that they go into, they're the gold medal champs, or they're the world champs. And that just makes everybody give that much more of an effort throughout that match that they're about to play. So it's a great thing for the event. I think when you have a three-time Olympic champ like that with those two, I think it brings a lot of awareness, or not awareness, but a lot of publicity to the sport that maybe it wouldn't have gotten if it was just a one-time champ. I mean, they're a great story. And, you know, I've got no problem with women's volleyball sharing a front page with football or whatever other major sport may be the topic of conversation that day.
Hey, who knew we'd be talking women's volleyball with Jason Peter with our Under the Helmet segment? Sorry to digress so much, but we are quickly running out of time. This is an abbreviated segment. Jason, just quickly, give us a pulse on the Huskers reported for training camp. How are things coming together? I mean, are you excited about the upcoming season?
Yeah, well, from the sounds of things, you know, after the first few days of practice, you'd think Nebraska maybe in the hunt for a national championship that year, but I'm sure, or this year, but I'm sure that's a common feeling around the country right now. Everybody's excited. Everybody is in first place at this point. You know, nobody's played a game, but no, so there's no losses in anybody's column. But yeah, we're just gonna have to kind of wait and see. You know, there's a lot of questions with Taylor Martinez. The offensive line has to shore up some positions. There's a defensive tackle position. We've got new linebackers replacing Levante David, who is one of the best defensive players to come through Nebraska. You know, he's not there at the linebacker position. They've got a new coach in the secondary, some young guys that had a case of kind of rotating chairs back there last year. We'll see if they can kind of shore up some positions back there. And then you got the incoming freshmen that nowadays there's so much hype surrounding these kids with the recruiting process and the expectation level of these kids that there are a lot of people out here are excited for this season to happen, and you know, I am as well.
Well, of course, I'm very excited about the Oklahoma Sooners. That is my team because they secured a big, big guy, their wide receiver, Justin Brown, the ex-Penn State wide receiver, and he's been very impressive at Oklahoma's practices. So, Jason, we look forward in the next couple of weeks to be talking about that, and I apologize for this being so short, but we'll have a good conversation next week as well. Thanks for dropping by, Jay.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead this weekend on the Big E Sports Show.
The work of FCA can be summed up in four words: coaches, campus, camp, and community. The four C's are vital in fulfilling FCA's vision of seeing the world impacted for Jesus Christ through the influence of athletes and coaches.
It's the show you don't want to miss. The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big. Think big. It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we are so glad you're along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. In our first segment, hey, we were talking about and previewing the 2012 Summer Olympics. We're going to shift avenues now, and I know we are in the month of July, but it is never too early to preview and talk some college football with our good friends at Phil Steele Magazine and philsteele.com. It's such a pleasure to welcome back a very special guest, and he's always in the rotation when we're talking college football. We're going to hit it hard. My good friend Joey Lucci, who a lot of things have changed over the past few months. So get us up to speed. You are a proud daddy of a baby girl. Congratulations, Joey.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's always great to be on. Thanks for having me on once again, Alyssa. Yeah, a lot of things have changed since I've been on last time. Me and my wife had a little baby girl on Memorial Day. You know, so it was a very Memorial Day for us. And we it just couldn't be blessed anymore. 6 pounds, 18 and a half inches long, fully healthy, which is so important. And I think it's amazing that a lot of the times, and I was telling you this off air, that 2 months ago, what was important to me then is not nearly as important to me as we're talking right now. You just kind of put things in perspective, and those little things like, okay, we've got 10 toes, we've got 10 fingers, we've got, oh, wow, we got a head. And I know it sounds funny, but, you know, it's just, we don't want to take anything for granted. And she's just been the joy of my life, and I just cannot wait to, you know, be able to teach her things and everything like that. We're still in the newborn stage, so I'm not sleeping yet. But I will trade this sleep for the amount of love that I have for her any day of the week. So it's been great.
Oh, that's beautiful, Joey. I was going to say, you know, being sleep deprived, was that the biggest shock to you? Because it certainly was for me with my two boys. It was profound.
I think it's the sleep deprived and the amount of diapers we actually have to go through. I think when people were telling me 16 to 20 a day, I was like, yeah, no way. Yeah, okay. I'm buying diapers on a weekly basis. So it's absolutely amazing. But, you know, all that stuff that goes along with that, I will trade all that for what she is, a healthy baby girl. And we just had her christening this past weekend.
Aww.
And she had a beautiful white gown on. And so it's been great. And my mom's already pushing me for a couple more. She wants more grandbabies.
Oh, it is truly such a miracle. And you can just hear the love in your voice. Just enjoy it. It goes incredibly fast. I will tell you that. Hey, now listen, we got to talk some college football. You are long overdue. We have intended to have you on, but we've been focusing so much on the NBA, which we love. It's time to talk some college Big 12 football. And it's an exciting conference, the Big 12, because it continues to evolve. A lot of changes happened over the past year. How are they viewed nationally with the addition now of TCU and West Virginia? No longer is Missouri in the conference, or Texas A&M. How are they viewed on how they will compete?
I think they're viewed better now. And no disrespect to the Texas A&M and Missouri programs that are going to the SEC, which I think both of those programs will have down years because they're going to be in a rude awakening there in the SEC. But the Big 12 can kind of hold its own. The difference between the SEC and the Big 12, in my opinion, Alyssa, is that the SEC has, you know, overall, except for maybe a couple bottom teams, they're solid. Where the Big 12 might be a little bit of top heavy, especially this year. But TCU and West Virginia enter into the conference, I think, better programs this year than A&M and Missouri. So I say it's a stronger conference this year than it was last year, and I think it continues to evolve. But I kind of see them maybe in the future going back to 12 schools maybe and getting back to a championship game. But I think it's going to be a very solid conference this year, one that I've got tied second with the toughest conference, in my opinion.
You're listening to the voice of Joey Lucci with Phil Steele Magazine, philsteele.com. And like I said, you know, what a year it has been for the Big 12 Conference. Let's start off, though, talking about TCU right here in Fort Worth, a number of changes. And one thing we know for sure is that head coach Gary Patterson, he continues to maximize the players that he has on board. He does have plenty of talent. Of course, they've got their returning quarterback in Casey Paul Hall. What is your expectations with them?
Well, first of all, you look at TCU and you say, okay, are they going to have, they've won 11 games, 13, 12, 11 the last 4 years, and then you're kind of thinking, are they going to have a down year this year? But what is a down year for TCU? You know, I mean, if they win 9 games this year, is that disappointing? It will be for them for the success that they've had. First off, one thing about Gary Patterson, one of my favorite head coaches, I absolutely love the discipline that he has with the team, and he always takes players, and I know there has been some off-field things, we're not going to get into that, and we know that, but he always takes what he has, and all of a sudden they're going to be all-conference players, and these guys that maybe aren't household names, but when you put them together, they just gel. Now, offensively, there's going to be nothing wrong. I love the running backs coming back in James and Tucker, and I think that they don't miss a beat there. I love Boyce at the receiver position. You mentioned Casey at the quarterback. He's going to have some unbelievable numbers. And defensively, yeah, you look at it and go, okay, who's going to be the stud of this defense? Well, they work as a unit, and I have nothing but a good season. Now, when I look at TCU, I break them down into two halves of the year. I fully anticipate this team being 7-0 on October 20th on homecoming after they beat Texas Tech. Then the schedule gets very dicey, in my opinion, because they've got 3 tough road trips at Oklahoma State, at West Virginia, at Texas. You sneak in a couple home games with Kansas State and Oklahoma in there. And I think that Oklahoma, that last game, we'll touch on that. That could be a game that they're going to need to get to the national championship game. But looking at that, I think they stumble a couple times. just because of maybe the new familiarity with changing conferences, where they're going, and now heading into the Big 12, there'll be a big step up in competition and stuff. They're fully capable of for that challenge, but there will be. So when I'm looking at TCU this year, I'm not saying they're going to match 11-2 last year. I think we're probably looking at a 9-win team, possibly double digits this year. Some people might think that's a step backwards. I think actually it's a step forward just because. And I'll tell you what, in a next year and years to come, now you're Gary Patterson does an absolute phenomenal job recruiting as it is now. Wow. It's just people are going to – TCU is so attractive with going out with the stadium and everything like that. They will be a contender in this Big 12 conference for years and years and years, and they will be like a staple like Oklahoma. I love the direction where their program's heading into. If I'm them, like I said last year, I said the year before, I don't know how many years we've been doing this, sign Gary Patterson to a lifetime contract. Just let him coach a lot of people on to stay there because he's doing wonders there at this TCU program.
Well, how will they do defensively? Because they are missing some of their dynamic defensive players in Tanner Brock and DJ Yendry. And, of course, the Frogs, they're going to face five of last season's top 15 offenses in the country. They got quite a challenge ahead of them.
Yeah, I think their offense will be better, which will help their defense take a little bit more pressure off that. So their defense, you know, will adjust. But like I said from the beginning, every time I look at it and go, they're going to struggle defensively because they only have this many certain starters coming back or they're losing these key players or some off-field issues, Gary Patterson just gets the best out of these players. He will take an average player and turn him into a superstar, and we've seen that over and over and over again. And that just doesn't happen. That's just not luck. That's coaching. He has a set plan in place. He doesn't steer away from it. He goes right to it. And he takes these players and he gets the maximum effort out of them. And before you know it, NFL teams are wanting them to play on Sundays, and they're all conference here and there. So I think they're going to be just okay on defense. They might have a little bit of adjustment, like I said, at the latter half of the year. I think it's real tough that last five-game stretch. So I see them losing a couple games here or there. But like I said, I think they start off 7-0, and with winning, it's contagious. And who knows? This team has done it in the past before. Pull a couple nice road wins, and this team is right back in the thick of things in the Big 12.
Well, Joey, it will be a lot of fun to watch, and I love their motto this year for the TCU, for the Horned Frogs. It's make it personal, and they certainly will do that against some great competition. Hey, let's hit on West Virginia. Dana Holgorsen, he's in his second year. Last year, finished 10-3. Certainly a lot of chatter about their quarterback, Geno Smith. I mean, a strong Heisman candidate. What is this team capable of, Joey?
Well, I'll tell you what, Big 12, Tavon Austin, too, at wide receiver, he's an absolute stud. You're going to have to cover him as well. I know West Virginia's coming in here. This is a huge step up in competition for them. The Big East is nowhere near the Big 12. So, first of all, that's going to be happening. Now, when I look at them, I think the trips kind of hurt them a little bit. When I break down their player, they've got all the players to run it. You mentioned Geno Smith. This guy passed for over 4,000 yards last year. He also can take off and he can run. When you give him the chance, he didn't do that too much last year because of the stable receivers. Dana Holgorsen, remember, came in this system, was going to sit there under Bill Stewart, who was their head coach, and then Bill Stewart eventually was out of there, and then he comes in and puts this kind of fast-paced, let's run it kind of fast break offense if we're talking basketball. But look at the schedule for a second. I think they'll end up going 4-0 right off the bat, but they've got at Texas and at Texas Tech. Now, what's happening with college football realignment, teams are not in the same area. West Virginia's got to travel. Going from West Virginia to Texas, back to Texas, two straight weeks, that's going to be real difficult.
Right.
So that's going to take some – so they're going to go, just like TCU, in some places that they haven't played in a long time, and the unfamiliarity with some of these things. Then you look at the stretch after their bye, TCU at Oklahoma State and then Oklahoma, that's tough right there. Like I said, TCU is going to lose some games. West Virginia will lose some games, but it won't be because they're a bad football team, I think. It's just because of some things, some tough scheduling situations, some unfamiliarity. I look at West Virginia. I think TCU has a better record than West Virginia. I don't think they matched 10 wins as last year. I think they get to that 8-win mark and like that. But I'll tell you what, these are two teams you want in your conference, TCU and West Virginia, and they're going to make this conference that much better. And, you're going to get those recruits now from the Ohio area, the Pennsylvania area, which is rich in college football. And they're going to be like, wow, we can play in the Big 12 now. We'll go to West Virginia and do that. But man, I'll tell you what, with the landscape of college football, they're not close to anybody in the Big 12. And those road trips will start to linger on them.
Well, Joey Lucci, you're exactly right. It is going to be an exciting year for the Big 12 Conference. Joey Lucci has dropped by from Phil Steele Magazine, philsteele.com. And go ahead, we want to pause and give you the opportunity to share with all of our listeners where they can go and get the magazine. It's wonderful. I got mine last week in the mail, a whole box of them, and it looks great.
Well, the magazine this year, 124 FBS teams, two full-color pages, four teams joined FBS this year, so we're excited. 344 pages in all. You can go to philsteele.com. That's S-T-E-E-L-E.com. Just go there and check that out. If you go to philsteele.com, order a magazine, get it going there. You're going to absolutely love it. You're going to use it throughout the year.
Absolutely. Just a few more minutes this weekend on the Big E Sports Show with Joey Lucci from Phil Steele Magazine. Of course, you can check out our radio interview at eradiosports.com. And we certainly love hearing from all of you at info, at eradiosports.com. And Joey, I thought what was really cool, I love seeing how Phil Steele, he has got the Sooners. But last year, of course, they were the preseason number one. But right now, Phil Steele has Oklahoma at the top in the Big 12 as far as when he forecasts these teams.
Yeah, and this year, you know, obviously you want to, he's got a ranking coming in at number two, which puts him in the national title game, and I think that makes a lot of people in Norman smile there. And when you look at it, I think one of the benefits that Oklahoma does have is not really having to play in a national or in a conference championship game. That's kind of big that way as well, too. But when you look at them, first off, let's break it down with Landry Jones. It all starts from there. That's a guy that would have been drafted last year, coming back this year. He lost Ryan Broyles. They struggled a little bit last year. You know, some of the losses, you know, because of that. This year, no big deal. You know, I know there was a couple receivers that had some bonehead things go on, but Kenny Stills is still there. And I look for Kenny Stills to have a huge year. Not only pick up Ryan Broyles' stats, but I think this guy's got All-American written on him. I love the way they run the ball defensively. This team will be probably like the defense it was 3 years ago when they were giving up about 14.5 points a game. So I love that. When I look at them right from the start, 4-0, I think they get past Texas Tech because there will be a revenge factor there. You know, the Texas Tech beat them last year. When I start looking at it, I go West Virginia at TCU, two places they really don't travel to a lot. Those are going to be some tough games. I think they get past Oklahoma State on a revenge factor, too. I think it comes down to Texas. I think the Texas Longhorns are going to be better than most people realize. That's going to be a key game for me. If they get past Texas, I fully anticipate a 12-0 season. I think everywhere else is a very winnable category there, and I think Oklahoma State represents one half of the national championship this year. I just think everything lines up, now barring injury, obviously, but I look for Landry Jones to be right on top of that Heisman Trophy watch, and maybe somebody else sticks in there, like a Kenny Stills, who, like I said, I'm thinking that he's going to have such a tremendous year, one of those kind of Justin Blackman-type years from Oklahoma State. Probably about 1,300 yards receiving, just a big, huge guy. And then, obviously, with Oklahoma, you always get a great recruiting class coming in. So there's going to be a freshman or two that's going to stick their nose in there, and that's going to make a name for themselves when this season starts to stretch.
Well, the Sooners certainly are expecting big things from Landry Jones. I mean, of course, Landry, he wants to accomplish his goals. He's always such a positive influence on his team. And I think that he's getting married this summer as well to his longtime girlfriend, Whitney Hand, of course, who plays basketball for Sherry Cole and the Oklahoma Sooners. But, you know, last year, we just think back, Joey, Oklahoma finished 10-3. It was a disappointment. They suffered the unthinkable loss to Oklahoma State. But they had so many key injuries with Dominic Whaley and Ryan Broyles and Ben Haburn. I mean, he missed half the season with a broke arm. So you have to think and be optimistic that they really will turn the corner this year and get back to where they always are. I mean, as a serious contender for a national championship.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just hit it on the head. Sometimes injuries will catch up to you, but you got to expect them to be in better health this year and do that. And let's just face it, not, you know, you just said 10-3, disappointment, you know. Probably about 110 other schools in the nation would just say, okay, we'll take 10-3 right now. That's not a disappointment for us. But it is if you're Oklahoma. And it's not, other than the Oklahoma State game, they were in every single other than the three losses. So it wasn't like, you know, they were getting blown out here or there. And I think by the time they got to there, things had just kind of caught up to them so much. And let's just face it, in Bedlam, if you have a chance in one or the other, and they'll tell you, and you've gone through them enough, Alyssa, to know if you can beat up the other opponent, you'll just keep on piling and piling. I think it's kind of snowballed with that game. But like I said, better health, better stats this year. Landry Jones will have more options. It looked like sometimes with Broyles last year, that was his option. And then, you know, he was kind of shocked a little bit when he went down. And the defense stepping up, equaling the schedule where it is, and they get all their key games at good spots. There's no doubt in my mind that it, you know, Oklahoma go 12-0 and represent one half of the national title game.
Okay, Joey, next time we have you on, which is we're looking at probably the month of August, we'll invite you back. We'll hit on Oklahoma State. I mean, who is next after Whedon and Blackman? I mean, where does Mike Gundy go from here? And we'll talk some more about Texas. But my final question for you is I wanted you to give us a little bit of a preview on Kansas. I mean, they got this new head coach in Charlie Weiss. KU, they've got their defensive coordinator in Dave Campbell, obviously with us being here in the Dallas market. We are familiar with him. And this is his first time to be coaching on the college level since the late 80s. What kind of turnaround do we anticipate from them?
I like them to equal their wins the last 2 years. They went 3-9 and 2-10. I see them not going to a bowl this year, but about five win mark, but in a step in the right direction. I think their schedule is totally one half and a second half. I think they can actually come out of the gate 4-1. Wouldn't surprise me. With, you know, Charlie Weiss being there. You've got the Notre Dame with the, you know, Chris coming in at quarterback play. But then, you know, you're asking an awful lot for a team still trying to find itself with Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Texas, you know, West Virginia at the tail end of the schedule there. And even that trip to Texas Tech isn't any fun. That's out in the middle of really nowhere down there in Lubbock. They won't be as bad as the 2-10 team. They're improving each, you know, they'll be, have a huge improvement from last year. And let's just face it, they've gone through a Mark Mangino, a Turner Gill, and now they need to get some stability. And you see that with a lot of teams that have that unstable head coaching where they're changing head coaches every 3 to 4 years. Sometimes it's what, you know, I think we pull the trigger too fast on coaches. We don't give them enough because we want what have you done for me lately kind of mentality. But in this situation, I think that it all starts from the top, and you get that stability, and it'll kind of just trickle down. And I think that's what Charlie Weiss can bring to this program and do that. And like I said, I think they're 5-7, and I think they're maybe an upset or two away from getting back to a bowl. But I'm thinking they're a couple years out. Get Charlie Weiss Charlie Weiss's recruits in there, and I think good things ahead for the Kansas Jayhawks.
Were you surprised to see him make the move?
I actually was a little bit. I know
because I'd heard he was going to retire in Florida. That was, you know.
I thought so, too. I think that the thing with Florida and under Will Muschamp, I think there was a little bit of maybe a butting of the head. Charlie Weiss, to me, I don't think is in the coordinator at all. I think he's got to be at the head somewhere. I think that's just kind of who he is. Some people were just born to be leaders, and I think that's who he was. And so I wasn't surprised at him going, but where he kind of took and ended up and where he's at right now. But I tell you what, I think the Jayhawks fans are in a great situation, and you know, they got to be smiling. And you know what? Let's just face it. They had a lot of nice taste at the end of, you know, from 2006, 7, and 8, you know, not used to winning a lot with Jayhawks football. And then they kind of went back into, you know, this is kind of what we are. We're a basketball program. But I think, like I said, I think better things are to come here with Charlie Weiss at the helm.
Well, there's plenty of intrigue when we talk about the Big 12 Conference. And before we let you go, we have to have you weigh in on this national championship and how things have been changed up now with this four-team playoff. I mean, Joey, what do you think about that? And what's the pulse up there? What's Phil still thinking?
Well, he likes it. And Phil was talking about it because
he's always been what the traditionalist. He liked, you know, what the bowls, right?
And he loves the bowls. But I'll tell you this. You read the magazine. I think in 2003, I believe he wrote an article about a four-team kind of playoff system, and now it's in place. And I know he's ecstatic about what's happening here. You keep the bowls in place, and that's good for it. You rotate what the six bowls I think they're going to do every year, and it's a 12-year agreement, and I like it. And one thing that I always like to do, there's never going to be a perfect system. No matter what you do, you're going to have somebody that's going to say, well, I can see it this way or I can see it the other way. But this system that they're in place and now keeps what I like to see it. Let's determine a national champion on the field. Now, I love the four. I don't think you need to go any more than that. I maybe can do a six, but I won't get into that. But the reason you don't go like an 8 or a 16, it dilutes the regular season in college football. What separates college football from any other sport? Not that we don't enjoy all the other sports. I know you do, Alyssa, and I do as well. But every single week is a national title elimination week. I mean, week one, Alabama plays Michigan right there. Whoever loses that game, probably not going to have a shot it's going to be very difficult for them to get into a national title. Oklahoma drops one game this year. It's going to be difficult for them. So each week, with that said, the regular season doesn't get diluted. Then you get to keep your bowls because you only have a 14 playoff system. The bowls are great. They're a great reward for teams, especially young teams, if they can get to a bowl. It's like a second spring for them. They get a chance to get those players some more practices and things of that nature. And then we, as fans and as the media, we get to sit here and watch and look at it and say, great, this is going to be awesome. We get to play a game at 4:30 and 8, and trust me, they're going to have such a huge television network with this Final Four, so to speak, football, and then the national championship game later. It's going to be great. So I think it's great for college football. I don't think it's a perfect system, but then again, I don't think we'll ever, ever come up with a perfect system. But just keep this in place. We don't need a big playoff system because, you know, would you like to see this? I'll give you an example. If you have a 16-team playoff system and Oklahoma and Oklahoma State are both qualified for the playoff prior to Bedlam, you know, and then they got to play, and then they got to play again. It's like Michigan, Ohio State. They play each other at the end of the year,
right,
and they're both in the playoff. It kind of takes away from that game a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, Bedlam is important, but you know what? We just want to get a better seed in the playoff.
Right, they're going to be looking ahead.
And so that's why I like what they're doing right now.
Hey, listen, we got to close out our interview, but we definitely will catch up with you in the month of August. We'll break down some of the other teams within the Big 12 Conference, and hopefully you'll be able to report that Alexis, that she's on a little bit better sleeping schedule for you, and you're getting 8 hours of sleep a night, right?
She definitely will. And Alyssa, 1-800-654-3448. That's 1-800-654-3448. If you would mention Alyssa Walker-Campbell or Joey Lucci, one of the two, I'll pick up your shipping and handling from the magazine, and I'll get you one.
That is
a cover price. How's that?
Outstanding. Phil Steele Magazine. Phil Steele, and it's STEELE.com. Joey Lucci, always a pleasure. You are the best, and we will talk to you in the month of August. You take care, okay?
Thank you, Alyssa.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.